الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله لا يضيع أجر المحسنين صدق الله العظيم الحمد لله وذا فضل الكرم فالله سبحانه وتعالى again it is only Allah سبحانه وتعالى who gives us the tawfiq of gathering here in the masjid and of course our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver A talk on deen, pure deen based on Quran and Hadith, from the teachings of our mashayikh, the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gave every second of their life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They refrained from gunas, they stayed in the company of mashayikh and salihin and pious people. Their hearts were purified, their hearts became clean, pure. They had what we call nisbat ma'allah, a very strong bond and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah guided them, even in their dunya matters, and of course, akhirat, they will be with the anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam, the shuhada and the salihin. May Allah ta'ala also give us such an honor to be amongst the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The verse that I recited, of course this is one of the majlises of Shah Wasiullah rahmatullah alayhi. Again, he was a very great, one of the great, most senior khulafa of Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi. Mawla Masihullah rahmatullah alayhi from Jalalabad was well known amongst us. He had come to this country and he has got many students and khulafa and murideen. But this was Mawlana Wasiullah rahmatullah alayhi. Both were khalifas of Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah. Hazrat Thanvi had many khulafa. Mufti Shafi sahab rahmatullah, whose malfuzat we read quite often. Then the sheikh of our sheikh, Arif Billah, the Hakim Akhtar sahab, sheikh, Mawlana Pulpuri rahmatullah alayhi. Shah Abu Ghani Pulpuri rahmatullah alayhi was also a very senior khalifa of Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi. In fact, the age between Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, who was a sheikh, and his murid, Hazrat Pulpuri Rahmatullah Ali, was just 10 years difference. And then, Mawlana Abrar al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullah of Hardoi, he was also the sheikh of our sheikh, Hazrat Mawlana Hakim Akhtar Sahib. So, Mawlana Abrar al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullah from Hardoi, he was also a khalifa of Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah. Like that, he had plenty khulafa, plenty. And each one of his khulafa, and those who had genuine ta'alluq with him, became beacons of hidayat. In their lives, you would see discipline. You would see usul, principle. They became insan in the true sense of the word. Their mannerisms, the way they spoke, the way they dealt, the way they conducted themselves. People become attracted to them. Why? Because their lives were based on Quran and Hadith. So in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not destroy the reward of those who do good. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ Verily, Allah does not destroy أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ The reward of all those who do good. Those who are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do any good deed which is in conformance to the teachings of Sharia, Allah will not destroy the sawab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep that Allah will bless them with reward and Allah will preserve their reward. In fact, Allah multiplies that reward. Person does one good deed, man ja'a bil hasana, one good deed, minimum Allah multiplies it by 10, minimum. Of course, depending on his ikhlas and how he performed that action, then Allah increases and multiplies that reward. Now, this particular waaz of Hazrat Mawlana Wasiullah rahmatullah alayhi, begins with the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
عن ابي ذر رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصبح على كل سلامة من احدكم صدقه فكل تسبيحه صدقه وكل تحميده صدقه وكل تهليله صدقه وكل تكبيره صدقه وامر بالمعروف صدقه ونهي عن المنكر صدقه ويجزئ من ذلك ركعتان يركعهما من الضحى. This hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Rasul says every joint a person has in his body, and we know there are 360 joints a person has. Now for every joint a person has, every single day he owes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one sadaqah. In simple terms, he owes Allah ta'ala 360 sadaqah every single day of his life. Why? Because Allah has blessed him with 360 joints. A simple joint on the thumb. If this joint was not here, a person will not be able to hold a glass. He will not be able to eat any food. It will be difficult for him to do so many actions because he does not have one joint. He doesn't have the joint in the knee. He won't be able to bend his knee. He won't be able to walk. Like this 360 joints. We're not even talking about the limbs that Allah has given us. The eyes, the ears, the nose, the brains. Those are all beshumar ni'mat. Allah Ta'ala in this hadith of Rasulullah is only asking us for the 360 joints that Allah has blessed us with on a daily basis, then we are supposed to give some sadaqah for it. Now 360 joints, people think now 300 is only for the rich people, they can give so much of sadaqah. Therefore Rasulullah clarifies it. And he said, فَكُلُّ تَسْبِيحَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ. Every tasbih a person says, one subhanallah a person says, you get the reward of one sadaqah. You fulfill the sadaqah of one joint already. So if you read 360 times of the day, subhanallah, then you have fulfilled the sadaqah which is incumbent upon you for the joints that Allah has blessed you with. وَكُلُّ تَحْمِيدَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ. One alhamdulillah, you get the reward of one sadaqah. One tahleela, one la ilaha illallah, you get the sawab of one sadaqah. One takbira, one Allahu Akbar, and you get the sawab of one sadaqah. So for the 360 joints that we have in the body, person says subhanallah, or alhamdulillah, or la ilaha illallah, or Allahu Akbar, then he is fulfilling the sadaqah for that particular joint of his body. If you read 360 times, then you have fulfilled the sadaqah for the 360 joints Allah has blessed you with. And this is on a daily basis. Of course, if you give some charity, then that's also sadaqah. Any other act of charity, that's a sadaqah. But in this hadith, simple. So even the poor person, it's not become difficult for him. He'll read subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Then he is fulfilling the sadaqah of the joints that Allah has given him. Then Rasulullah says, in one hadith, it is mentioned, if you assist a person to climb onto his vehicle or his means of transport or conveyance, whether he is riding a camel or a donkey or a horse or climbing onto a bus, if you assist him onto that mode of transport, then there is also sadaqah. You help him with his luggage, you carry his luggage and you place it on that conveyance for him, there is also sadaqah. وَالْكَلِمَةُ طَيِّبَةُ صَدَقَةُ. Ya kalima tayyiba refers to a kind word, a piece of advice you share with some person, some dini advice. You talk to him about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qudrat, or about salat, or some nafil act, anything. Person is feeling low. He's depressed. And you talk to him about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love. Allah is all forgiving. Allah is so great. Allah is so kind. That advice that you are giving him, there is also sadaqah. So the doors, the roads, Imam Allama Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned in Riyadus Salihin, Babu Bayani Kathrati Turuqil Khair. The explanation of the abundant roads and means of doing good. So many roads will reach us towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many things a person does, and he gets this reward of sadaqah. That story of that woman, we all know, which comes in the hadith kitabs, she was a prostitute, a loose woman. But on that hot summer's day, she gave the thirsty dog some water to drink. She went down to the well, and with her socks, she removed some water and gave that dog to save that dog from death. She's dying out of thirst. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entered her into paradise. That little act. So we did not know which action of ours Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be so pleased with, that that action, no matter how big it may be or how minute it may be, but done with ikhlas, sincerity, and properly, only for the sake of Allah, Allah liked it, Allah was pleased with it, Allah says this person gets Jannat. And the contrary, we don't know what evil action it may be. To us it may seem very, very small, insignificant, but that has angered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On account of that, then Allah ta'ala can send the person to Jahannam. Allah save us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all this what I'm mentioning, not mentioned, Allah Rasulullah hasn't mentioned in his majlis, we haven't even started his waaz, but these things have come to mind. Rasulullah said, I saw in a dream every good deed, good neki of my ummah. Whatever good action my ummah will do, I was shown that in the dream to such an extent that even that little twig or blade of grass that came into the masjid, and the musalli picks it up and throws it out of the masjid because he does not want the masjid to get dirty. So that little deed, that too is regarded to be amongst the good deeds of this ummah. And on the contrary, Rasul says, I saw all the evil deeds of my ummah to such an extent that I saw that if any mucus was taken out onto the masjid by any person, it was not removed, then that too is an evil action. That too is an evil action. If somebody has to do such a thing, I mean, of course, those times they had pebbles, they didn't have carpets, and person won't do it deliberately, but people were still coming into Islam, somebody from the village, he was not so cultured, he didn't have any education, the Bedouins were very hard in nature. There's an incident, of a Bedouin comes into the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not knowing the adab and etiquettes. So we understand, we mashallah, we think mashallah, we are very well cultured, refined, because Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with education, and over so many centuries, things have become so easy for us. At that time, over 1430 years ago, people were still coming into Islam. Did not know what was taharat. Person would embrace Islam, Muslim would teach him the basic etiquettes of deen, sunnahs of Islam. Then you teach him some surahs, some basic du'as. Then, once his iman is strong, then Rasulullah will send him, now you go and call the other people towards Islam. Give them da'wah to Islam. So this simple person comes in not knowing what the masjid is all about. He goes one corner and he begins to urinate. Sahaba see this. Obviously they become angry. And they are about to run and stop him. Rasulullah tells them, nah. Leave him alone. La tuzmiruhu. Don't stop him suddenly from urinating. And look at the hikmat. That if you suddenly have to go and stop this man, and out of that shock and awe, he will withdraw, he will constrain himself, and that will cause him severe damage and pain. Let him urinate easily. Now we make islah. Something wrong has been done. The masjid floor has been messed. Rasulullah tells the Sahaba, just bring a bucket of water and tell the Sahaba to just wash it and clean it. So masjid is clean, park, pure, no problem. This is a lesson for us. If something like that happened to our masjid, sometimes you find a small child coming, after that everybody is panicking. What happened? Carpet is messed. So Rasulullah taught us how to clean the masjid. And then number two, Rasulullah called that Arabi, called that Bedouin, and explained to him very beautifully, إِنَّ هَذِهِ الْمَسَاجِدِ These masajid, لَا يَسْلُحُ لَهَا It is not appropriate, not correct, except إِلَّا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ Except the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala, namaz, salat, we make tilawat of the Qur'an, ibadat of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. It is not for this bowl and qadir, not for dirt, not for urinating. The sahabi understood. So Islam was made also of the sahabi. Now he understood. He learned something. This was the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A very great scholar has written a kitab. Al-Rasul al-Muallim wa asalibuhu fi ta'alim. Al-Rasul, the messenger, al-Muallim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was a true, genuine teacher, ustad. And his methodology in teaching. How Rasulullah taught sahaba. How he asked a question. What type of answer Rasulullah gave to sahaba when they asked a question. How he tackled situations. In any case, we're digressing quite a bit. So what I was saying, even a small action, whether it was good or bad, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw it in the dream. So in this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he says that every tasbih is sadaqah, and even kalima tayyibah is a sadaqah, wa amrun bil ma'roof wa nahyun an munkar, you command somebody with some good, you advise him in a very diplomatic, very kind way, you make him understand the importance of salah, you bring him to the masjid, you become instrumental in him changing his life, and you prohibit him from any wrong action that he is doing in a very kind way. So nahi anil munkar. All this is sadaqah. So after saying all this, that for the 360 joints, a person every day has to give sadaqah, because Allah has blessed us with 360 joints in our body. Now we owe Allah sadaqah for it. So whether by means of some sadaqah, charity, you helping some poor person, or somebody on his conveyance, or some kind words, whether amar bil maruf, nahi anil munkar, or whether subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, whatever it is, all this is sadaqah. After all this, Rasulullah then showed us something very easy. He said, two rakats of namaz, two rakats a person reads, yarka'uhuma min ad-duha at the time of chashd. Suffices all the other actions that was mentioned. It suffices you from the takbir, tahleel, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, helping somebody, amar bin ma'ruf. Doesn't mean you mustn't do it. If you do it, well and good. But if you just read two rakats of chashd namaz, then you have fulfilled the sadaqah which is incumbent upon you for the 360 joints that you have in the body. So beautiful, so easy sharia is. What time is chashd? People start panicking now. Ishraq and then chash and awabin and tahajjud. It's all nawafil, which is very, very important in the life of every person. Yes, emphasis is given firstly only on fard, mainly on fard. Your faraid. No use you put a roof and you haven't got the foundations right. So no use read tahajjud whole night and you must have fajr namaz. We explained tahajjud before and what a person should do, especially this time when tahajjud is so early. Ulama have said read after Isha or after the two sunnat of our Isha, we read four sunnat and then the two, or four farth and then two sunnat. After the two sunnat, then make the two nafi that you read after that, make the niyat of tahajjud, then you read your tawitr. Or even before you go to sleep at night, then read your tahajjud, and if you have to wake up after that and you get the tawfiq of tahajjud, no problem, you can read as much as you wish. Coming back to chash namaz, it's plus minus. After 10 o'clock, 10, half past 10, 11 o'clock, half past 11, long as it is done before Zawal, in one hadith it is mentioned, when the baby camel is unable to place his hoof on the ground because of the intensity of the heat, it begins to pick it up, it cannot place it down. In other words, when it is quite hot, now of course we won't understand it, probably yesterday and today in Durban, we might be feeling it. But if you go to Makkah and Madeira, when it is really hot in the summers, holding you in the aircon in the hotel, and the haram there's aircon, you come out of the haram, Just a little walk from the Haram Sharif right to your hotel, you are already sweating. So that's why ulama say after 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, half past 11, that's the ideal time. 2 rakat of chash namaz. Then you have fulfilled the sadaqah of the 360 joints you've got. Now why Hazrat mentioned this hadith? The ayat he mentioned was, Inna Allah la yudhi'u ajra al-muhsineen. Whatever good you do, no matter how small it may be, but Allah appreciates it. It's valuable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter he mentioned another hadith, which inshallah we should all try and make amal on inshallah. Make the niyat. We have sat here, not listen to some flowery speeches, because we are unable to do so. And that's why I'm only mentioning mawa'is, nasiyat of what our kabirin have mentioned. This is quoted by Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu and Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, two great sahaba. We discussed them, the whole biographies here previously. They say, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a hadith Qudsi. What is the hadith Qudsi? Where Rasulullah says in the hadith that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned. So Allah Ta'ala says, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anillahi tabarak wa ta'ala. Qala yabna Adam, O man, irka' li arba'a raka'atin min awwalin nahar. Just read for me. Allah says, read, perform. We're talking about nafil now, not the fajr, not the zuhar and asr, maghrib, we're talking about the nafil. Just read 4 rakat namaz in the beginning of the day. Akfika akhirah. I will suffice you the end, the remaining part of the day. Ulama say, they normally mention this with the chash namaz. So in other words, we said 2 rakat of chash namaz. This is saying 4 rakat. So we read 4 rakat of chash namaz. You can read 2 rakat, or you can read 4 rakat. So better we read 2 rakat and then another 2 rakat. To make amal on both the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So at the time of chashd. Chash is the Urdu word. The Arabic word for chashd is duha. Salatul duha. It's important to know this. Salatul duha. Which means forenoon. Before dhuhr. Before zawal. So whoever reads 4 rakat of this chash namaz in the day, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken it upon himself to fulfill all your needs for the remaining of the day. I don't like saying this, but this, I promise you, only out of targheeb, not tahdith bin ni'mah, because Hazrat mentioned somewhere also, tahdith, when you talk about some ni'mat and you're going to mention to others, then he mentioned that those people can see it who really got that ikhlas and really got that heart where they're really saying something out of tahdith bin ni'mah. So we are saying out of targheeb. I can swear by Allah, you start doing it, and Allah, I guarantee you, inshallah, you must have yaqeen in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that your needs will be fulfilled the remaining of the day. So this is Hadith al-Qudsi. After mentioning this Hadith al-Qudsi, Hazrat Mawlana Wasilullah Rahman knew, when we talk about needs, insan, what needs we talk about? First thing, our pet, our rozi. Immediately we go to that. At this point, I will mention Sahaba-i-Kiram. The difference. We love Sahaba-i-Kiram. I'm just mentioning to some brothers now. Allah knows best why He didn't make us in the era of Sahaba. Some people mentioned, after the Sahaba, if we had to be in the time of Rasulullah, we would have carried him on our shoulders all the time. We would not have let him walk on the earth, on the ground. So much of love and azmat we would have shown. The Sahabi said, "Hey, if you just had to spend that little time in the valley of Shaib Abi Talib, in the time of boycott, and see what Sahabas had to live on, leaves of tree, then you wouldn't have said all what you're saying." It's easy to say now. What if we had to be amongst the munafiqin of the time? Allah knew our condition. But still, after so long, we still love the Sahaba. We try to imitate them. We try to be like them. So, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala was explaining, the Ansar, there was drought, there was famine, and they needed some water, some rain. So they come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask Rasul to make dua to Allah. Again, didn't ask Rasul to provide for them, because Rasulullah could not provide. He was a Nabi of Allah, he would ask Allah to provide. So, Ya Rasulullah, that's the intention that you make, go to Rasulullah. And of course, it's the correct thing to do. That's the correct thing, that's the wasila. Rasulullah is there. He's the greatest Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us go to him, put the problem, and he'll provide the solution. He will ask Allah, Allah ta'ala will send it. They hardly come inside the house, in the room of Rasulullah or the masjid. Rasulullah just looks at them. Oh, my Ansar, ahlan after salam, ahlan wa sahlan, marhaban bikum. Welcome, welcome. Oh, my Ansar, whatever you desire today, I'll make dua to Allah, Allah will grant it. They came for water, for rain, because the animals and just everybody was suffering. The Ansar looked at each other. Oh, what a mawqa this is. Anything we ask, now let's be honest. If we were there, we would have asked for enough cars and dunya and properties and shops and everything. Wives, we would have asked all those things. They said, Ya Allah, Ya Rasulullah, make dua to Allah, Allah forgives us all our sins. Immediately, Allahumma ghfir lil ansar. Allah forgive my ansar. Not only that. Wali abnai al-ansar. And the children of the ansar. Not only them. Wali abnai abnai al-ansar. And for the grandchildren of the ansar who are not even living still. Wali azwajim, their wives. Wali jiranihim, their neighbors. One riwayat, their servants, their slaves also. Forgive all of them. Ansar came out, shining faces. They were overjoyed. This was Sahaba Ikram. Any case, Hazrat Mullah Wasilur Rahman then says, Dekhiye, jis rizq ke liye, sari dunya pareshan hai. For that rosy, where the entire world is so bechain, restless, pareshan, Allah Ta'ala ne kaisa sahal tariqa taalim farmaya. Allah showed us such an easy way. Ab jiska ji chahe, usko ikhtiyar karke aafiyat wa rahat hasil kare. He said, whoever wishes, try it out. Obviously, it doesn't mean you mustn't go and work. Allah says, I will fulfill the remaining of your needs. You will have to follow the asbab that Allah has provided. You got a shop, go there, but do this. And then you see how Allah makes things easy for you. جس کا جی چاہے اس کو اختیار کر کے عافیت و راحت حاصل کرے ورنہ اسی طرح اسباب کی فکر میں پریشان و سرگردہ رہے otherwise what will happen you will be always looking for more and more means of acquiring more and more rosy there will be no end to it you don't have to look for so many different means we see you're just doing some sideline business That one main line, that will be online, inshallah. But we have to place our trust on Allah subhanahu and sincerely do this. Allah says, I will fulfill the remaining of the needs of the day. Ye Rasulullah ki hadith hai. So Hazrat Mona Wasiullah Ram says, Maine ye hadith Bombay mein bayan ki. In Bombay, Mumbai, of course, lot of tujjar, lot of merchants. Aur logo ko uski targhib di. تو بہت سے لوگ اس نماز کو پڑھنے لگے اور ان کی سمجھ میں یہ بات آ گئی دی انڈرسٹوڈ دس حدیث ہے یہ رسول اللہ علیہ وسلم کی حدیث ہے نہایت اہم حدیث ہے کہ اللہ تعالیٰ نے یہ وعدہ فرما لیا کہ دن کی ابتدا میں 4 رکعت نماز پڑھ لو تو شام تک تمہاری روزی کی کفایت کروں گا سو ایون اف یو ناٹ سو لیٹ یو ریڈ ارلی ٹو نو پرابلم بٹ ہوور ریڈز دس نماز دس 4 رکعت اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ ول take it upon himself to make sure that the remaining needs of this person is sufficed. Hamare buzurgon ne isko samjha aur us par amal kiya iska thamara unhone duniya mein bhi paya. This is our mashayikh or elders, they practice on this hadith and they saw the fruits of this, the benefits of it. Then he says, nisbat ma'allah insan ko jari aur sher dil bana deti hai. The person has a genuine nisbat, contact with Allah, a connection with Allah, then it makes him very brave, courageous, gives him the heart of a lion. Ek wazir tha. Baghair wazifa aur ishraq, pare huye badshah ki khidmat mein nahi jata tha. Ek wazir tha, jo baghair wazifa aur ishraq, pare huye badshah ki khidmat mein nahi jata tha. This wazir, without performing his wazifa, his mamulat, his ishraq namaz, he would never go to the king. First he'll read, obviously go on time, but finish off his mamulat, his wazifa, his ishraq namaz especially, and then he would go to the king. Halanke, bacha ke yaha, sab kaam wazir hi se mutalik hota tha, and it was all upon him to make sure all the work and duties performed. He was very close to the king. Usko kaha fursat, where the king has time to do all the mundane activities. Magar itna waqt Allah jalla shanu ki ibadat ke liye fariq kiya tha. But this person also, he was became so busy in seeing to every activity of the king. He was the right hand man of the king. But he would make sure some time will take out for this ishraq and this wazifa. Ek din koi kaam aa gaya, badsha ne wazir ko isi waqt mein bula bheja. Usne kaha ki aata hu. Send a message. King needed him urgently. By call him. Wazir sahab kaha hai? Somebody came, called. Main abhi aa raha hu. I'm coming now. Abhi maamool pura nahi hua tha. Isliye ye jawab kehla bheja. He was still finishing his ishraq and other wazifa. That's why he said, I'm coming right now. Itni mein dusra aadmi badsha ne bheja. Phir kaha ki aata hu. King was now with urgent and hurrying. Send somebody. Call him now quickly. So this person came. He said, okay, I'm coming right now. Isi darmiyan mein dusre waziron ne mauka paakar badsha se kaha. We always have people who are jealous. Anybody has got a close contact with somebody who's a prominent nature. Then you find others now, they will start. They found a very nice opportunity. He told the king, look at this wazir sir. You calling him and not coming. What kind of wazir he is? Ye shakhs itna maghroor hai. आप बार बार बुला रहे हुए लेकिन आता नहीं. So king said yes. At that time this was he just finished his wazifa and his mamulat and now he's coming running to the king. But the king was fuming, raging, was angry. इतनी देर से बुला रहे थे लेकिन तुम आए नहीं. Why didn't you come? Then this person very bravely said, he had the heart of a lion. Now why? He had Allah with him. So although he's addressing the king, he did it politely, but now he was assertive, was brief. Jawab diya ki main aapka to sirf chaakar aur mulazim hoon, magar khuda ka to banda. I'm just your attendant. I'm your worker. But I am the banda of Allah. I'm the makhluq of Allah. I'm the bondsman of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm the real slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm the real servant of my Allah. خدا کا بندہ ہو بغیر اس کی بندگی کیے ہوئے آپ کے پاس نہیں آؤں گا. Without fulfilling my servitude to him, fulfilling my different wazifas that I have, my ibadat to him, I would not come to you. بادشاہ ان کی یہ بات سن کر رو پڑا. It's the effect he had on the heart of the king. The king actually began to cry. کہا کہ ٹھیک ٹھیک کہتے ہو ٹھیک کہتے ہو. What you're saying is right. Subhanallah, kya ajeeb waqia hai. Bacha ka khauf baghair kiye huye saaf keh diya. Ke aapka tum mahaz chaakar ho, lekin khuda ka banda ho. I'm just your normal attendant worker. I am the banda of Allah. This had an effect on the heart of the king. Taalluq ma'allah ki barkat. Usse Allah ta'ala ke saat nisbat aur taalluq ka jaisa kuch andaza hota hai, zahir hai. اور اسی کا اثر بادشاہ پر بھی پڑا. This had an effect on the king. کہ اس نے محض اتنے پر اکتفا نہیں کیا کہ کچھ نہ کہتا بلکہ رو پڑا. The king could have just remained silent. He said, okay, it's alright. No problem. Not just that, he began to cry. And that's why we say, you know, we should hear Hazrat Rahmatullah mentioning and all of Mashayikh. Sometimes the statement, the malfuzat, the simple sayings, the quotations of our pious predecessors, and of course, they took all this from Quran and Sunnah. It's not that what they are mentioning is some other thing. All what they say is derived from Quran, Hadith, Sunnah, the Sahaba Kiram's Athar, means what they had quoted. All those things, then they simplify it for us. They use some example which is common to all of us, so that like in, you won't find in Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah's time, they used an example of a cell phone. It didn't exist that time. They used a normal telephone example. In today's time, the cell phone. So somebody might use a cell phone as an example. But everything, the principle, is all got from Quran and Hadith, all sabit from there. But these kalimat, just as the words of Allah has such nur, such nur, such nur, that we know the ayat, if that Quran had to be revealed, the mountains will crush. Like that, the words of Rasulullah has such nur in it, such nur. It's just that our hearts have become so hard and covered that we don't feel the effect of it. But people who are teaching hadith and reciting hadith, when they hear Rasulullah's name, they shake, they shudder. Sahaba ikram sometimes, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, could just say, or some other sahabi, Sami'atu Rasulullah. Just sing, Sami'atu Rasulullah. And he would fall unconscious. Could not continue. The love they had. These kalimat are full of nur, 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 nur. You see the faces of muhaddithin, those who teach hadith. They may be of African origin, Indian origin, somebody from Bangladesh, Sri Lanka. He might not be fair-skinned, but you find some nur on his face. Zikr brings about nur, Quran hadith brings about nur. Person who is using vulgar language, abusive language, swearing, shouting, fighting, there is zulumat on his face. Those who hate sahaba, revile sahaba, you see darkness on their face. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Therefore we make dua. Ya Allah, make our faces white and shining. Yawma tabyaddu wujuh, on the day when faces will be shining and bright. Don't make our faces black and darkened on the day of Qiyamah when all the faces will be black. So the Ahlullah, the Malfuzat, the Kalam has nur in it. So this had an effect on the king. After this, he mentioned Sayyidul Istighfar, but I think we'll have to leave this for some other time. We will go to, Hazrat then mentioned about the same rosy sustenance. He says, Husool Rizq Asan Zariya. Exactly what I finished mentioning. That we want our rosy, we will make an effort. But to acquire it in a very easy, sahal, asan way, then read this 4 rakat namaz every single day. Read it, inshallah. For all our needs. You're going on suffer, read it. Student got examination, read it. But if you do bad afterwards, don't come and ask me. Because then I'll say, you sure you made wudu? How you made your wudu? What niyat you made? How's your ikhlas? Were you only worried about making money? Of course, we have to be sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But inshallah, is too kind. Allah is too kind. Whatever du'as we learn, whatever is from Quran and Hadith, we have to have not 100% yaqeen. I always say have 1000% yaqeen. Bab al-Wahhab sahab, Damat Barakatum of Raiwin, he mentioned one simple amal, when a person going on suffer, we don't have time now. And although we had come across it sometime, but forgot it, it had such an effect on me, that I started making this amal. But when he mentioned it, he quoted the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about istighfar. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Rasulullah says, man lazim al-istighfar. Whoever clings onto istighfar. In other words, whoever makes istighfar in abundance, regularly. Ja'alallahu lahu min kulli dhiqin makhraja. Allah will make an opening for him from every type of difficulty. Wa min kulli hammin faraja. Is in a distressed condition. He's got some severe sorrow, grief, worry. He makes istighfar. Allah will make him happy. Allah will remove him from the sorrow and grief. And not only that, main part comes here. وَيَرْزُقُّ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Allah will sustain him from avenues that he didn't even comprehend and think and imagine. He'll get a rosy from such places. But Hazrat Mona, Babu Habsab said, بَيْ اُسْكُوا يَقِينَ كِي سَاتْ پَرَوْ. We don't have yaqeen in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mullah read all the du'as, nothing happened. We must have yaqeen. Ya Allah, you are definitely going to make it happen. You are going to help me. Nobody else can help me. I'm reading the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, you make it happen. After all that, with the full yaqeen, if Allah does not want it to happen because it comes something far better for you in store, then that's, Allah Ta'ala knows best what's good for you. But there will be some effect, inshallah. So he says, jitne mutawakkilin hai, wo sab subah hi se ye intizam kar lete hai, akhir shab ke bare mein bhi hadisi aayi hai, ki Allah Ta'ala ki taraf se ye nida hoti hai, ki hai koi rizq ka talib, talab karne wala, may usse rizq do. So Allah says, all those who have tawakkul and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after tying the camels, then they will read this wazifas or this four rakats, and then they will see everything is fulfilled. And then there's, in the evening also, there's a caller that calls out, who is searching for rozi? I am ready to give rozi. So a person has to stand up before Allah and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Razzaq sirf Allah ta'ala ki dhaat hai. The provider, the giver of rozi, is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Main ye samjha raha hu ki asbab se rozi nahi milti hai, balki Allah ta'ala rozi dene wala hai. Means, do not provide sustenance. You can have a shop, entirely no business. You had all the goods, your price was very good, you had the best of people working for your staff, nothing. The guy next door, booming business. You can't understand. So rozi is from Allah. Yes, you have to adopt the means that Allah has provided, the correct shari'i, jaiz means, not the haram means. But your tawakkul, your reliance must be on musabbibul asbab, the creator, the provider of this means. Aur wahi musabbibul asbab hai. Tijarat, razzaq, so he says here that who gives the tijarat, who gives you? It is razzaq, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he is musabbibul asbab. Isse rizq ke baare mein bhi bahut nusus hai, aur bahut si riwayat, he gives many verses of the Quran, many, hadith of Rasulullah some about rozi, inshallah, some other time we will do it. But in some incident he mentions about Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi alayh, ke unke paas ek dafa koi sahil aaya, one beggar comes to him. So Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi alayh tells this beggar, tells his servant, the beggar, I've got 10 eggs in the tray, give this beggar the 10 eggs. Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi was a very great wali of Allah, a very great muhaddis, thousands of students. 6 months he goes for jihad, 6 months he's teaching hadith, and waqiyas of his hajj you must read. He used to go for hajj, take all his students with him, and at the end of the day he used to provide for all the costs. Nice to have a sheikh like that. Sometimes a different sheikh takes the murids, and the murids must pay for everything. Our Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali was very cautious. He taught us this thing. Before the murid can do, you must do it for them. So they say, the sheikh is not after our jab, not cutting our pockets. And a person must be genuine and sincere about it. As far as possible, refuse it. But then when you have the taluk and somebody giving you something with genuine sincerity, then you should not refuse it, because there is nur from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. But your eyes, your nigah should never be on that. That's another long story, inshallah, some other time. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat of learning Quran, hadith, deen, shariat, and purifying our hearts. So in any case, what happens? His servant, she only gives 9 eggs. She keeps this one egg aside. Abdullah bin Mubarak does not know. He says, after some time, a shakhs ne aakar darwaza khatkataya aur kaha ye tokri le jaye. That this is, he comes, a person comes, knocks on the door, tells the servant, this is the basket, this is for Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi alayh. So she comes, tokri ko lekar dekha, usme ande the, there was eggs. Usko shumar kiya, he counted, to 90 ande nikle, there were 90 eggs. Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi alayh called his khadima. He said, daryaft kiya, ki ek aur anda kaha hai? You only, how many did you give? She says 9. What happened to the 10th one? She says, I concealed it, I kept it aside because both of us were fasting. I thought for iftar I'll use this one egg. He says, now look what he says. Tune sahil ko kitne ande diye the? Usne kaha ki maine usko 9 ande diye the. Ek ko bacha liya tha taki hum log usse iftar kare. Ye sunkar aapne farmaya, are, tune mere 10 ka nuksan kiya. I would have got 100 eggs. Why? He had such yaqeen that if he gave 10 eggs to a person who was in need, Allah will multiply that by 10 and you'll get 100. Leave eggs. You give a beggar 10 rand, Allah will give you 100 rand. It may not come one shot, 100 rand, that one, but Allah will give you that 100 rand. And even more. Abdullah bin Mubarak had so much yaqeen that he gave 10 eggs, 100 should have come, only 90 came. So he tells his bandi, why you made nuqsan of my 10 eggs I would have got? By keeping that one egg behind. If you gave that also, then we would have given 10 in charity and we would have received 100 now. This is the Ahlullah, this is the Mashayikh. Why they had no dunya in their heart? They use the dunya. All our Mashayikh see, in the dunya you say, no khana, peena, kya karim? You'll die. Sharia tells you to eat. And don't think the Ahlullah don't enjoy the food. I mentioned the other day also. They may not eat biryani like us every day. They might have dal roti. But Allah puts such lazzat, such halawat, such enjoyment in that dal roti of theirs, but we don't get in the biryani. What we're doing in the papar and the kachumar. They get in the simple food. So the important thing is dunya. Use dunya and go into those places where you require in the bazaar. What you require is zarurat. And our nigah, our gaze must not be on the embellishments of this world. In those shopping malls and the centers and look at the different displays and we get so attracted that the love of the dunya penetrates right into the deep recesses of our heart and we completely become ghafil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a very beautiful incident. I will just mention inshallah and we see how the sahaba ikram radiallahu anhu ajma'in, what detachment they had of dunya. How they detach themselves from dunya. As the Mufti Taqi Sahib had given dunya ki haqiqat yeh. What is the haqiqat of dunya? Yeh dunya Allah ta'ala ne ajeeb cheez banayi hai. Is dunya ke baghair guzara bhi nahi. Agar aadmi ke paas paisa na ho, khana na ho, then it will be very difficult for him. So dunya is such that you require dunya also. But you don't become so absorbed and engrossed and consumed. You see, sahaba ikram or dunya. I gave one example already. There's another example. This is Hazrat Sahaba Ikram, Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Ali Majma'in, ki tarbiyat, Huzur Akdas ne isi shan se farmayi thi, ki dunya unki qadmon mein dher hui. That means Sahaba Ikram had such tarbiyat of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, such nurturing, that they had no attachment to dunya, but Allah threw heaps of dunya onto their feet. A time came in the masjid of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sayyidina Umar al-Husayn's time, he's Amirul Mu'mineen. And many delegations and wars that took place. And so much of wealth was brought from Bahrain. Stacked up one corner of the masjid. So much gold coins. Sahaba entered the masjid. Left the masjid. Nobody even taking one glance at it. No effect on the heart whatsoever. We haven't entered the masjid. We look at those beautiful cars outside. Oh, mashallah. So now what's going to happen? Our namaz, I must get a cab like this one. Must organize, must get this. So what type of namaz are we going to read? It didn't affect them at all. He says, Ek sabak amoz waqiyah. Hazrat Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiyallahu anhu ka waqiyah kitabu mein aata hai. Unhone Room ke ek shahar ka muhasara kiya. Abdullah bin Abu Ubaidah, Hazrat Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiyallahu anhu, aminu hadhi ummah. We discussed his biography also. For those of us who didn't hear it, we're going to revise it. Of course, we can listen to it again. It's on the Masjid Noor website and also the CD is available. So they laid siege and they had surrounded a huge fort of the Romans. It's a very long incident. Few days went by and the Romans had locked themselves up in this fort. Now the fort was such, it was the whole entire city inside. Now it was too many days, these Romans were now running out of supplies, getting tired. So shahar walon ne ek chal chali, aur yeh faisla kiya, in musalmano ke liye shahar ka darwaza khol diya jaye. They said, let's make a plan. Let's open the gates of this city. Open this fort. Let these Muslims come in. Why? What is the chal? As any person would enter this fort, on either side, they had huge, beautiful shops and malls. In our terms, malls. Beautiful shops. Decorated. Ba ronak bazaar se guzarta tha. Jiske dono taraf ali shan dukane thi. بیوٹیفل شاپس، ہر دکان پر زیب و زینت کے ساتھ ایک عورت بٹھا دیا. At each shop, a woman, very well dressed, decorated, beautiful woman sitting at each shop. What they thought? ان کے پیش نظر یہ تھا کہ یہ عرب کے صحرا نشین لوگ ہیں، مدتوں سے اپنے گھروں سے دور ہے، فاقہ مست لوگ ہیں، جب یہ اچانک بازار میں داخل ہوں گے اور وہاں کی زرق برق دکانیں دیکھیں گے اور ان دکانوں میں حسین جمیل عورتوں کو بیٹھا ہوا دیکھیں گے، تو اس کے نتیجے میں ان دکانوں کی طرف اور ان عورتوں کی طرف متوجہ ہو جائیں گے اور ہم پیچھے سے ان پر حملہ کر کے ان پر فتح پالیں گے. As these Muslims will come in and they will get so consumed and absorbed by looking at the beautiful decorated shops that we have and these beautiful women that we have got there, that they will be just amazed and they will be startled and be looking at this woman and this decoration. And they said also, اور دوسری طرف عورتوں کو بھی دے ان وومن ودی ٹولڈ دیم، یہ تاکید کر دی گئی تھی اگر کوئی تم سے تعرض کرے انکار مت کرنا. If any one of these Arabs were coming and they from the desert area and they left their desert areas and they must be tired, they are hungry, they are starving, they haven't seen their wife so long or so, if anyone tries to interfere with you, don't stop him, let him fulfill his desire. As they're busy fulfilling their desires, and as they are caught with the dunya, the glitter and glamour of the shops, we will attack from behind and we'll destroy them. This is the ploy. چنانچہ شہر کا امیر نے اچانک حضرت ابو عبیدہ بن جراح رضی اللہ عنہ کے نام پیغام بھیجا کہ ہم اپنے شہر کا دروازہ کھول رہے ہیں. So the message is sent to Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah. Okay, right, we give up, we surrender, we open the gates now, you can come in. آپ نے اپنے لشکر کو لے کر اندر آ جائے, you come inside. حضرت ابو عبیدہ ابن الجراح رضی اللہ عنہ نے جب یہ پیغام سنا تو اپنے لشکر سے کہا کہ تمہارے لیے دروازہ کھول دیا گیا. حضرت ابو عبیدہ ابن جراح رضی اللہ عنہ addresses the Muslim army, the doors, the gates are being opened now. They all are excited. تم اس کے اندر داخل ہو جاؤ, you may enter, لیکن میں تمہارے سامنے قرآن کریم کی ایک آیت پڑھتا ہوں. But before we go, just one verse of Quran Majeed I would like to recite. Is ayat ko apne zehen mein rakhna, just bear this ayat in mind, take cognizance of this verse, aur is ayat par amal karte hue dakhil hona, just act upon this verse as we entering. Wo ayat ye hai, qul lil mu'minina yaghuddu min absarihim wa yahfudhu furujahum. Mentioned last week, Allah tells, oh Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell the believing men they must lower their gazes and protect their chastity. Hazrat Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah, muarrikhin likaya, historians have written, Hazrat Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala ka lashkar shahar mein dakhil hua, they entered the entire city aur pure bazaar se guzar gaya. They went past all the bazaars, every one of them, lekin kisi ek shakhs ne daaye baaye nazar utha kar bhi nahi dekha. Not a single sahabi looked right or left even. Each one gazed down, walking inside. Ke waha kya hai? Didn't look what's inside, what's in the shops. Yahan tak ke mahal par qabza kar liya. Right until they came to the king's palace inside. The king's home. And they took over the king's home. Jab ahle shahar ne ye manzar dekha, ki ye aisi qoum hai, jo fatih ban kar shahar mein dakhil hui. The people, the Romans, saw, look at these people. They've entered. They've conquered us. They haven't even looked, not even a small, slight gaze, either on the right or left. They haven't looked at one shop, not one woman. Dono taraf. They haven't seen at all. Jo haseen jameel aurat thi, unki taraf nazar nahi uthaya. Seedhe mahal par pahunch gaye. To unko dekhkar yaqeen ho gaya. When they looked at these Muslims, the conduct, the behavior, how they obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they believe now, they had that certainty, the certitude, ki ye zarur Allah ta'ala ke khas bande hai, these are genuine servants of Allah. Aur sirf ye manzar dekar, shahar ke aksar log musalman ho gaye, most of the people of the town became Muslims, aur kalma la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah padh liya, each one of them read the kalima, and they accepted Islam. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given the Sahaba ikram. This was the love for Quran, hadith. They were not affected by dunya. Yes, they used the dunya. What a zarurat they did. But they did not become captivated by the dunya. They did not become engrossed by the dunya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to make amal whatever we have said. May Allah give us that batini quwwat, the batini nur, and become obedient servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.